All right.
Yeah.
Erev Tov. Good evening, everybody. Let's see. I see there's, looks like five people are on here. Hi, Ruth. Hi, Anna. Hi, Rachmana. Yay. There might be some other people that I can't see on there, but it's good to see y'all. I am live casting from a different space, as you can tell by the masonry that matches my shirt. I'm almost dissolving into the wall, I guess, here, which is the point, right? And I am actually at University of Hartford this week, teaching at the National Havara Institute. So we did our first class today, and it was nice. Went small group, five people, but very sweet. And so this past Sunday, when I was at NIAC, in NIAC, at the synagogue there, Sons of Israel, some of you might have tuned in then or watched that, I talked about a teaching of the Magid of Mezrich, this remarkable teaching where he begins by reflecting on the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. The Israelites went through the Red Sea and says, yeah, that was a great miracle, but actually that's not such a big deal because it's really just taking something that exists and manipulating it in some way. It's like magic, right? The sea doesn't normally split. You're not used to that. So now that it splits, you think that's a big miracle. But really the bigger miracle is something that we completely take for granted. It's not taking something that exists already and making it do something weird, but it's the fact that anything exists at all. Yesh me'ayin, something from the nothing, something from the ayin. And the ayin, the word ayin, which can be translated as nothing, really means, it actually means something very similar to the English, which is no, English is no thing. It's not a specific thing. Somehow, from the condition of no form, of emptiness, comes forth all of creation. And that's the true miracle. But then he goes a step further and he says, but actually that's not even such an amazing miracle. The real miracle is what the tzaddikim do. That means spiritual people. In our application of it, really this is each one of us. That's just to say that we are practitioners. And the point of our practice is not yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, but rather it's ayin me'yesh, nothing from the something. That the divine turns the nothing into the world, into something, and that's wonderful. But then our task, and really the mission of being in these bodies, of having this opportunity to have this human lifetime, this human incarnation, is to be able to pierce through the sense of somethingness into the no-thingness, that is the vast openness behind all of our experience. And this is not theoretical, this is not cosmology, this is not theology, it's not even theosophy, it's actually just a fact of our present moment experience right now, that everything that is, every condition that we are aware of, is happening within the open field of awareness. And that field is ayin. That field has no quality of its own. It's simply the consciousness of the qualities. So, in our typical way of speaking in English, when we use the term nothing, sometimes that has a pejorative, a negative kind of connotation to it, right? Like if you say, oh, that's nothing, right? You're brushing it off. You're saying that it's not as important or it's not as valuable as someone might think, right? Well, that's just nothing. So there's actually another word in Hebrew that has that connotation. there can be confusion with words about what we're talking about, especially if you're familiar with different spiritual traditions, right? Because, for example, in Buddhism, nothingness or emptiness has that positive connotation, the same as ayin, right? It's that ayin is another name for the divine. It has no form, but it's that from which everything springs. And this is, again, not theoretical, but something we experience directly, that everything is arising in consciousness. So our own consciousness is a microcosm of the unfolding of everything, the whole universe. That we right here in our experience, in our little tiny corner of the world that we inhabit, is a microcosm of the whole thing. So that's the emptiness referred to in Buddhism. But that negative connotation of emptiness, like when we say, oh, that's empty, it doesn't mean anything, there's a word in Hebrew for that too. That word is hevel. And hevel is also sometimes translated as vanity. You may be familiar with Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, in which King Solomon, who's called the preacher, in Hebrew it's called Kohelet. The Kohelet means the preacher, and the name of the book Ecclesiastes in Hebrew is simply Kohelet. So what does it say in the beginning of Kohelet? I have the wrong glasses for books. I have the right glasses for seeing the screen. Anyway, it says, Amar Kohelet. Kohelet said, Hevel havalim hakol hahevel. Sometimes translated, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. In this translation, it says, futility of futilities. All is futility. We could also say nothing of nothingness, everything is nothing. And the context there is that King Solomon was the paradigm of like the wealthy, powerful king. He was at the top of the game, in a sense, in the ancient Israelite world. And he tried everything. He tried every pleasure. He tried every possible human endeavor that a human could do back then. And I guess he became very disillusioned with it all. Instead of it being a celebration of being human, he concluded, look, all of this stuff that we think we want to achieve greatness, it's all just vanity, it's all futility, it's all like a puffing up of ego, a stuffing the self full of content in order to feel like we are something. In order to feel like we're something, but really we're just nothing. All of that is hevel. Now this is where the hevel and the ayin, these two different words, the negative nothing and the positive nothing, kind of come together, because it's the nature of ego, it's the psychological nature of our sense of self to want to be something, to want to have content, to feel like we've achieved something, or to have honor, to crave honor, something like that. But ultimately, those things are craved because the sense of self that we have is something that needs to be fed. It's like a psychological version of a creature, of an animal that wants to survive and wants to procreate, right? But just like the stomach is never full, I mean, it's full temporarily, you eat food, but then it needs some more nourishment. In the same way, self-esteem, sense of being a somebody, needs constant feeding, right? And that's why if you're going along in some kind of, let's say, a career path, and you're doing very well, and then you lose certain abilities, you know, sometimes we lose abilities. Our bodies stop working the way they were, something like that, and then we can no longer be as good, and there can be this tremendous depression, this loss of self-esteem that we're not as good as we once were. Of course, as we get older, we can build all kinds of stories about this when our bodies aren't working. But all of this is on the level of Hevel, on the level of this neediness to stuff the self full with content so that we can feel complete. But we can feel complete for temporary moments, but it's going to drain back out again, and then we have to stuff it full again. So, okay, so you can live like that. Some people are successful for a certain amount of time, but ultimately, just like King Solomon, he came to a point in his life where he said, Hevel Havelim, it's all vanity of vanities. Hakol HaHevel, everything is vanity. And so what does he conclude at the end? That really just serving the divine is the whole of, is the whole human being. That's the very end conclusion. There's talk in our tradition, like the rabbis talked about, why is this book, this Kohelet, even included in the Bible? It's so depressing. It seems like, like almost like, what's the word for it? Kind of like an existentialist work. It doesn't really fit into the general religious kind of theme. But what he concludes at the end is that, yes, everything is vanity, except for being of service to the divine. So that's being of service to the divine. Serving the divine is a way of orienting ourselves so that we are not concerned with, we are not motivated by the hevel, the stuffing the self full of content, but rather we know ourselves beneath all of the content. Beneath all of the content, we are indeed nothing. We are indeed no thing, because we are just awareness. Now, awareness is not nothing in the hevel sense, but it's no particular thing. It's aware of all the qualities. It's just this open field. And as being this no thing, it's inherently one. It's not composed of different parts. It's a oneness and it's a completeness. And to the degree that we let go of the hevel, become unconcerned with the hevel, then we can remember, in a sense, reconnect with what we really know all along is our essence. Because before we thought anything, before we were taught anything, before we had a sense of me and something else, there was just this simple, spacious openness. And that's still there at the core of our being. So, there's a little piece in the Haftorah this week. This parsha this week is the double portion of Matot and Maaseh, and I'm actually very excited about this because over the years I've been writing all these Devar Torahs every week, and so I have a few for all the parshas except for Maaseh. I've never written anything on Maaseh before. And I was waiting all year thinking, okay, when I get to Maaseh this year, I'm going to write something and then I'll have it. So this is Parshat Maaseh. I haven't really talked about it so much, but when you get to the written teaching, you'll see how it all connects. But I am going to talk about the Haftorah, which is from Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, it says, oh, I see Lisa is on there. That's nice. Hi, Lisa and kids, kiddies. Okay, so it says in the beginning of the Haftorah, Ko Amar Hashem, thus the divine said, Ma Matsu Avotechem Bi Avel. What did your ancestors find in me that was Avel, that was like wrong? Like what's wrong with me? How come you guys have forgotten all about Hashem? Ki rachaku me'alai, because you've distanced from me. You've made a distance between yourselves and me. Vayechlu achorei ha-hevel. and you have run after the hevel, the vanity, the nothingness, the thing that the stuff that we tend to think is so important because it's going to give us a feeling like we're important. But really, what do you do when you do that? It says, "Vaye balu." They have invanitied themselves, right? Or they have made themselves into vanity. They've made themselves into nothingness. So when we read that, it kind of sets up this picture in our mind like, okay, here's all this stuff I'm concerned with in my life, and here's Hashem, and I should go after, run after Hashem instead of running after all these things that I think are important, but that we all know are ultimately hevel. But if we understand the ayin and the hevel as being actually, they're different ways of looking at, they're different levels of looking at the same thing. Because when we have the feeling of craving, for example, like King Solomon, he tried out all the different pleasures of the world. He was craving this, he's craving that. So when we have the feeling of craving, what do we do to not get caught in the hevel and instead to go to the root of our being, which is the ayin? Very, very simple. We simply come into connection with whatever is the feeling that we're having. We become present with the feeling of the hevel, and in the becoming present with it, we can go to the root of it. We can sense the underlying beingness of it. That is, in our actual experience, that whatever feeling we're having, whether it's a craving or a worry or an anxiety or an irritation, or even it could be a positive feeling, a feeling like, oh, we've really done something, we've really accomplished something, right? The positive or the negative. If you bring, don't push it away, don't judge it, don't say, oh, that's hevel. Just come into it, come into the reality of it. Feel the underlying presence of it, because everything that comes into our field of consciousness is actually made out of consciousness. It's all really the substance of what we are. There's only one thing going on, and that's the truth of this moment. Bring yourself into connection with what is appearing and know yourself as the ayin, as the open space within which this connection is happening, within which your perception is happening. The mind likes to make much of it. And if you try to stop yourself from making much of it, that's still making much of it. Then you're making much of not making much, right? I'm going to try to be spiritual. I'm going to try to not worry so much. No, no, no. Just coming into connection with it as it is. And this is the metaphor I was bringing on Sunday, a little bit of grinding up these coarse chunks of concern, of ego, grinding it so it becomes daka min hadaka, fine of fine, like the ketoret, like the incense that the Kohanim burned in the Beit HaMikdash. Daka min hadaka has to be very, very finely ground so that it's, so that we can breathe in the sweetness, the sweet aroma of simply being present with what is. That incense is the burning, the transformation into something that ascends, into something that elevates. You can feel it right now, just coming into connection. Daka min hadaka, fine of fine. part of the chant. Chant. Tikabel, receive, Ishe Yisrael, the fire offerings of Israel, that is the burning up of separateness, the burning of the Hevel in the light of awareness so that it can be transformed alchemically back into its root, rejoined with its root, which is the field of awareness itself. That quality of ayin, of no thingness. Thank you. Your heart, offering awareness from the heart, offering awareness with love to the fullness of your experience as it is, sweet and bitter, bitter and sweet, the full spectrum, giving your awareness with lecha, deep breath in. Also to your belly, feeling awareness down into your organs, flowing downward through your legs, down into your toes and feet, enlivening the whole lower part of your body with the light of your presence. Feeling upward, light of awareness expanding up into your chest and shoulders and neck, relaxing any excess tension. Awareness flowing down your arms, to your hands and fingers, expanding up into your head, to your face, your brain, bringing smile to your lips, smiling into the fullness of this moment. Being here in good spirit, feeling the flow of your breathing. Intimate connection following the inhale and the exhale. And anchoring this body awareness with Na Se, deep breath in. Also to your forehead, left hand on the belly, aware of the space around you, knowing that all that arises in awareness outside your body and inside is all one seamless, borderless field of this mystery of consciousness that you are. Vinishma, deep breath in. Vinishma. Kissing fingers, relaxing hands. Atahu, you are the divine. Or the feminine Atya, Atyahu. That's how I've begun to do it lately. Atyahu. Yeah. beginning to rest the mind in the vibration of the words. We'll sit for about 20 minutes. Remembering that when thought comes, that you just gently bring yourself back. No judging of the thought, no pushing away of the thought, but just recognition and return, sinking back deeper into the body, into the breathing, into the atyahu, and the open space. Being the open space. Meditation for this evening, bringing right hand to your heart, offering awareness with Lecha, Lecha. And left hand on your belly, awareness flowing down into your organs, flowing down through your legs and feet and toes, expanding up into your heart, into your lungs, your chest, your shoulders, your neck, down through your arms, hands, and fingers, into your face, your brain, your nervous system, bringing smile to your lips, feeling the flow of your breathing. Naase. Naase. To your forehead, aware of the whole open space around you, knowing that everything you perceive is unfolding in this one vast borderless space, and you are this space. Vinishma, breath in. Vinishma. Amen. So as we come into this week of Matot, Mas'ei, the tribes and the journeys, tribes and the journeys, Matot and Mas'ei. May we draw strength from our tribal lineage that's coming to us, giving us these teachings and these words to remind us to go to the root of our being, to the ayin that we are, the vibrant, radiant openness, and to be aware of the hevel that arises, that temptation to be drawn into drama or constriction of this or that, to be attentive and to watch, to become masters of our beingness in this world, in this life, and to receive everything that's given as a kind of instruction, as an opportunity for growth. Osei shalom b'momav, hu yasei shalom aleinu v'yakol Yisrael v'yakol Yishvei Tevel v'yemru amen. Amen. So I hope you enjoy the little Al Pacino clip that I put at the post underneath. It's his classic, at least classic in my mind. It's on YouTube, so it must be kind of classic. Where he talks about vanity. At the end of the movie, think it's called The Devil's Advocate, which was a play, and then the movie with Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves and others that came out, I don't know, maybe in the 90s or something. A favorite of mine, particularly that line. So enjoy, and oh, our next meeting, our next live stream will be Sunday, but again, it will not be at the regular time, so check it out. Let's see if I can remember it. It's going to be 7 p.m. East Coast. So that means 7 p.m. East Coast, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific, and Arizona. So I know that's weird times, but I'm trying on this trip where trying to fit everything into the schedule, trying not to lessen the live streams, but I have to change the time on some of them sometimes. So enjoy and tune in if you can, and if you can't, enjoy later. All blessings to you. All blessings to you, Ruth and Anna, Rachmana and Lisa, my sweetheart.